Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
What is going on? Jay Moore, TJ Henning holding it down today at the Hale Varsity Radio Show on a Tuesday. Vincent Valentine's Day, I like to call it.
Ooh.
Like that?
I do like that.
You know, February 14th.
I never thought of that.
And hopefully everyone's enjoying their Valentine's Day. Hopefully you, the men out there, have their significant others taken care of, because you know how we like to procrastinate, wait till last minute. I'm sure those the flower areas of the grocery stores are a little overwhelmed right now. Those husbands trying to pick up their stuff before they head home from work.
You got yours taken care of?
Oh yeah. Listen, I'm very
romantic.
No. I won't go. I want to say romantic.
Okay.
I got mine taken care of yesterday.
Ooh, all right.
I dropped it off yesterday. I like to be a little more proactive.
Okay.
You know, catch them.
Surprise them a little bit?
A little bit. Okay. But, you know, a little bit. But, you know, once you're, remember, will this be our ninth? Yeah. Our ninth year anniversary. And, you know, with the little one at home, you know, it's not, there's the element of surprise and everything that's kind of.
9 years married or 9 years you've been known each
well,
other?
Well, 9 years married, but we've known each other. We started dating in 2001.
So 16.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Pretty much together that whole time.
All right.
I think we might have broken up a
little
bit.
Nicely done.
There.
But
yeah.
If you're a single guy like me.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you doing tonight? You don't have.
Going to the basketball game. That's,
there you go.
That's my
there,
babe
there
for the
go.
Night.
There you go. That's we'll get into that talk. A lot of hoops to get into today. Obviously, Nebraska Penn State tips off tonight at BTN at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. We'll get all to that. Andy Markowski will join us and talk a little Nebraska hoops in that second hour. Mitch Sherman will join us as well. 425 coming up.
Have we even said Schmidt's out?
He is. Well, obviously he is. Schmidt is out. We got the call from the bullpen this morning. He is
hit by the flu bug.
Yeah, he's ill. I was planning on just being in tomorrow to do the show, but kind of switched some things around. Come in. Mm-hmm. Always enjoy doing the show with TJ. We have a lot of fun. But as usual, follow us on Twitter at JMoore44 and at TJ_Henning. If you want to get into to get into the show, you know the numbers, 466-3776 or 466-ESPN. Give us a holler. Talk to us. What's on your mind? Concerns with any Husker hoops? Concerns with any Nebraska football stuff? I'll get it answered. Not a ton of Nebraska football stuff to get into today. We'll touch on some stuff with Mitch Sherman. He actually had a really good write-up with about Mike Riley, talking about no more Mr. Nice Guy. We'll talk to Mitch at about 425. But a lot to get into, a lot of hoops talk, and kind of where we're going to go. We'll have some fun with the whole Valentine's Day deal, you know, who you fell in love with, your favorite player growing up as a kid, how you fell in love with your favorite team, or that love-hate relationship you might had with a certain player or a certain team. I'm sure everyone has tons of love-hate relationships with any Nebraska team, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, how they can drive you crazy. One weekend to the next.
Yeah, and we got a former Husker coming in studio.
Absolutely,
today.
Yep. Spencer Lindsay will join us here at about 4:40 in this first hour. He's going to be in studio, actually. I actually work with Spencer a little bit. So he's going to come in. We're going to talk about the Sam Foltz Foundation, some different things they're doing to try to raise money, and all the proceeds go into that foundation, and all those sort of things. So he'll be in studio at 4:40. I said Andy Markowski. And we'll have a recruit, actually, join us later of the second hour that we really weren't able to get into on that big signing day show that you and Schmitty did. But first of all, let's get into some more hoops talk. We're kind of save the Husker hoops talk for that second hour once we get Andy Markowski. A lot to get in with the Penn State. Kind of maybe a must-win feel for the Huskers tonight. Mm-hmm. I know, I think they're four and a half point favorite. Who knows? You can't call it anymore with this basketball team this year. But that KU West Virginia game last night was bananas. So I didn't get to see much of it. Again, I go to bed early. I have to get up early just with the little one. But so West Virginia, and this was at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, this was at the Fog.
Yeah. West Virginia's at 14 with like 2:50 left.
You bet.
And KU comes out of there with the W.
Yep. Here's the audio.
Kansas trying to keep a 14-0 run.
Are you
going.
Serious?
Shoot, Graham from the corner, holding an offensive rebound, and he throws it down. The lob, and a finish by Jackson. What a look from Devontae Graham.
Well, that's unbelievable.
Oh, turns it over. Mason can't let it hold, but Lucas goes. Mason needs help. Valuable seconds ticking off the clock.
Good time for
Graham for three. Yes!
Oh, there's magic in the air. There's magic in the air.
6 seconds to go. Phillip tries a three. Off the mark. We are going to overtime. Jim passes. Pocket pick by Jackson.
Right there.
Crosses over. Got it.
What a big time offensive move right there. Late in this game.
West for three. Mason's got the loose ball. That'll do it.
That happened.
No kidding. I mean,
that was John Anderson right. at SportsCenter right after that.
That was, I mean, haven't heard Dickie V's voice in a while. He was obviously on the color of that.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen college basketball has just been weird in general this year because you don't have that dominant team.
No, you don't.
And teams, you know, one week look great, the next week they're like, who'd they lose to?
Mm-hmm.
Big 12, obviously. Arguably one of the, you could say, best conferences in basketball. West Virginia's solid. Baylor's great. Kansas is great. Iowa State's great. Oklahoma's always up there. They're not as good this year, obviously, without
Texas Tech's pretty good this year.
That's what I heard, yeah. I think that's who West Virginia plays next is Texas Tech. But that game last night is just crazy. And the biggest thing, which is funny, because I think this hits home with Nebraska basketball fans, is how many people actually left the game early.
Lots last night.
And that kind of hits home with Nebraska fans because you're at a game, and granted, Nebraska, it's a nightmare getting out of the PBA. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll raise my hand. If it's a blowout and I know we don't have a chance, I'm out. I'm sorry. I hate crowds. I hate city. I don't like it. You can call me whatever you want. It's okay. But
I think it's football or basketball.
Yeah,
I think people tend to leave early here at UNL for sure.
Well, I think I can probably name two games for sure that I've been to that I've left early. I know the UCLA game where we were up at half and they came back and beat us. I think it was Brett Hundley's senior year, I believe. Anthony Barr was on that defense at UCLA. We were phenomenal in that first half. Kind of like it was kind of the story of the year. Nebraska always looked really good in the first half. In this second half, they kind of lost it, obviously. I think I left after the third quarter. I'm just like, all right, this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go have a cocktail in the parking lot, you know. That's the way some people think about the PBA. It's like, I remember leaving, gosh, it was the year we went to the tournament. It was our only home loss of the year against Michigan. And we left at halftime. I'm like, I want a beer. And we ended up watching it over at Wings Ring or something like that. But it's like, you know what? I can't get mad. I think people get frustrated. You want to support your team, but
especially so it's traffic mainly for you. That's the reason why. If traffic were an issue, you'd probably never leave early.
Correct. Correct. But any event, the traffic's going to be bananas. I mean, it was hell getting out of the Devaney Center.
Yeah.
It wasn't any better getting out over there. It's just a nightmare. Anywhere you go or the big sporting event, there's no easy way to get out of it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys. I just don't. So for me, like those type of situations, I like to park like a long ways away and just walk.
Yeah.
Let the traffic kind of thin out. Or. Go have a drink. Mm. Let the traffic thin out. But a lot of Kansas fans. I had a buddy up in Omaha that was at the game last night. And he goes, I've never – every KU game he's been to, they haven't lost. And when I got up in the morning, I was following his Twitter feed. He's like, the curse is broken, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they thought for sure he stayed.
Yeah, that was maybe going to be Bill Self's first ever two in a row at home losing.
Yeah, because they lost to Iowa State last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean,
they avoided something big there, and now all of a sudden, since Baylor lost last night to Texas Tech, Kansas, they're right back where they want to be for their 13th in a row Big 12 championship, which is just nuts.
That's a streak. I mean, the streaks of basketball, you have that one. You have the UConn's 100 in a row streak, which is actually bananas. I know it's women's college basketball.
Still.
Not that exciting, but that you do anything 100 times in a row, like, that's a feat of its of its own. I mean, that's crazy.
But back to the leaving early thing, I'm not a big fan of it, although I've done it before. But I usually stay till the end. I like you. I park far away and kind of just walk all the way there, and the crowd will thin out, traffic will thin out, so it's not so bad. But I feel like if you're going to the game and you're not there to cheer, it's kind of like, you know, why are you leaving early as well?
Right.
You know, make some noise if you're there.
Sure.
And if you're going to be there, stay there. Now, sometimes I get it. If you have little kids and it's like an 8 o'clock tip.
And it's
Tuesday night. Or, for instance, somebody gave me grief about this, but went to a Royals game with my dad on Sunday night game, which Royals don't have many of those.
Sure.
So we went on Sunday night. But we left early, but, you know, you're 3.5 hours from home.
Right.
I think that's an okay instance where you can go.
Correct.
You can leave early if you want.
Yeah, I mean, and who knows how many of those fans were, you know, we're driving to Kansas City, Lawrence, or people are driving back to Grand Island, or driving to, who knows, maybe they drove all the way from North Platte to catch a game. They got a 3.5 hour drive out, 4 hours back to North Platte.
But last night's like a reminder why you don't.
I know.
In case something magical can happen.
In the Northwestern Hail Mary game. I mean, it happens. I've never been burned like that when I've left. It was close to, you know, that Michigan game, but it was never that far. We just we were just thirsty. We needed a beer. So obviously you can't get that at PBA.
Or that Ray Allen hitting the three in the corner when all those Miami Heat fans left. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just
plenty of people were walking out and
they
were trying to get back in. I remember watching that.
But it was just interesting, you know, with Kansas basketball, their story tradition, and seeing all those people leave early. I mean, that was kind of shocking. But again, 14 points in 2 minutes, 50 seconds.
College basketball this year is crazy. That's something I want to get into with Andy in hour two, is just where, because he knows the game in depth much more than I could ever imagine, and how he think where this is going this year. I mean, because I want to get his thoughts on, you know, you hear guard play in the tournament. Like, who possesses that type of style this year that can make a deep run?
And to me, that's Kansas. I think with Devontae Graham and Frank Mason, like those two guys, they play really well together. So if I honestly had to pick a team right now to win it all, because I've been thinking about that lately, like, who am I going to pick?
Sure.
I think it's going to be Kansas or Gonzaga.
Now,
the quality of competition, they haven't played as great.
They haven't lost yet, right?
No, they're undefeated, 26-0. But talking to my one friend who's a Zags diehard, he was telling me one scout thinks they have six potential NBA guys.
Well, don't they have their sixth man off the bench is like the 7-footer freshman that plays?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they are loaded, and they just manhandled.
See, that gives me hope about my Blue Devils, though.
Oh, I wouldn't. I'm not touching them at all. Like,
they have great guard play, though.
They do, but it's been often hurt, and the gelling just hasn't been there. Like, would you be willing to put them in the Sweet 16 this year?
I wouldn't touch that region they're going to.
I mean, sure, that depends, but just on their state of play this year, like, it's
But I think it's just been a little bit of. Yeah, but that gives me hope that, you know what, they haven't played well.
Around.
They can turn around. They're playing better. I mean, they beat North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina's a pretty good basketball team. I mean,
and you think about Nova, too. They have good guard play. But before last year, Nova was the team who would lose in the round of 32.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just because they won it last year, all of a sudden, I think people are going to be willing.
They'll be the hot pick. So we'll get into that a little later with McCarthy, but with Andy Markowski. Something, since it is, we'll have to get into this a little bit later, but actually coming up here on a hard break on a Tuesday, on Valentine's Day, Hail Varsity Radio Show. Jay Moore, TJ Henning filling in here. Schmitty is out sick today, if you're just tuning in. Some of that love-hate relationship that you have, or a player that you fell in love with. I want to see, how did you fall in love with KG?
Oh, his passion, his energy you play with. I just remember watching him in one game on TV, and I was just like, that dude is all out. He's not giving up.
Like back in the Timberwolves days?
Yeah, back in the Timberwolves days when I was 9 or 10 years old, so 99, 2000. Yeah. I just saw the passion, the fire he played with. I was like, man, I wish I could be like that guy on the court.
But that's funny, because you've stuck with it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're like, that's the greatest thing, because I can think of all the favorite players I had. Like, I was a huge Frank Thomas fan, because 1 year in baseball, I played first base. 1 year, I was a big Cal Ripken Jr. fan because I played shortstop and third base. And it was just kind of like whatever kind of position I played. Like, 1 year I played for the Cowboys in midget football, so I liked the Cowboys that year.
Yeah.
But I never really had that one.
I mean, I had some fallouts.
I mean, obviously, sure.
Like, Sammy Sosa was one that I kind of followed.
Yeah,
kind of got a little weird.
No one. I don't really have, like, besides Nebraska, like football and anything Nebraska wise, that's where my heart is. But I've never had that one team that, or that one player where I'm just like, he's my man. That's
well,
my
maybe
guy.
By the time you fell in love with like a guy with Cal Ripken,
right.
he might have been towards his end of his career.
Right.
While when I fell in love with KG, he's kind of right. just at the beginning of his a little bit.
Right.
So, and I was able to grow up as well
sure.
watching basketball.
Love hate. If you're a Husker anything fan, there's a ton of love hate.
Mm-hmm.
You love him one weekend, and then the next weekend you're
probably
like,
my most recent is Tommy Armstrong.
Yep. Yeah.
Just because I wasn't a big Martinez guy, so
sure.
I wanted anybody besides him at quarterback.
Sure.
In freshman sophomore year, you know, when they weren't giving him asking him to do too much, it
right.
looked all right.
Mm-hmm.
But then as more went on, you're just like, oh boy,
yeah,
he's got a little Martinez
just,
in him
gosh,
too.
There's just so many. I mean, you could say the love hate that you have with Nebraska basketball this year.
Yeah.
You probably learn to hate him more because you get your heart. I mean, you want to talk about getting your heart ripped out this year?
3 1-point losses.
I know.
Oh.
And it's insane. There's a lot. I mean, what kind of a little fun theme we're rolling with today. We'll ask Mitch. I want to see, you know, Mitch is a huge Royals fan. Obviously the vicinity to where how close Lincoln and Kansas City is, but the Royals have struggled, man. And like, talking about ripping your heart out, you know. Sticking with them,
mm-hmm.
you
that
know,
game 7 loss,
right?
Then they get
I know,
the next
they get,
year,
right? So it's kind of a fun theme to do. We're having today. Obviously, it's Valentine's Day on the Hail Varsity Radio Show. We'll be back here. Coming up next, though, is Mitch Sherman of ESPN. You're hanging out with TJ Henning and Jay Moore. Hail Varsity Radio Show coming back here.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN. Or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show on a Tuesday, Valentine's Day. Jay Moore, TJ Henning, hanging out with you. Schmidt's out today. Let's, the flu bug caught up with them, but as usual, on Tuesdays, we catch up with our man, Mitch Sherman, of ESPN, at Mitch Sherman. You can follow him on Twitter. Mitch, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, Jay. So Schmidt's got the Valentine's bug?
Yeah.
Valentine's fever?
Yeah, we got the text early this morning and said he was going to be out, so we got the call from the bullpen and holding it down now, so... It sounds like a lot of people are battling with that kind of crap going on.
I think it's that time of year.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's feeling like baseball season to me out here right now.
I know. It feels great.
At the very moment.
I know. It's insane. Do you have your Valentine's Day stuff taken care of, though? That's the most important thing.
You know, we took care of it early. We went out last night and had a nice dinner to celebrate. When I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old,
mm-hmm.
so that changes Valentine's a little bit from what it was previous to the 10 years ago. And plus, my wife and I, our anniversary is only a couple weeks away. So we'll maybe combine those two events into a two-person dinner coming up here shortly. But we went out for Valentine's dinner last night and took the kids with us. Magical, I guess you'd say.
Hey, Mitch, you brought up baseball, and I know you're a Royals guy. What do you think of signing all these Cubs?
What do I think of Brian Flynn falling through the roof of his barn and missing 8 weeks
of
spring training? well, I'm okay if they played for the Cubs. I have a thing that goes the opposite way against – I don't like the Cubs too much.
Mm-hmm.
If – baseball is a transient game, and if they want to send some of their players over our way, or actually I don't know if the Cubs wanted to send their players our way, they just had their roster so stocked with talent that there wasn't room on the 25-man roster for a couple of the guys that the Royals picked up and should turn into key pieces of their team this year. So I'm fine. I'm fine with Jorge Soler and. You know, if the Cubs can help out the Royals' starting pitching staff too with the acquisition, then that's fine too. I don't care where they come from once they put the blue and white on.
Mitch Sherman from ESPN joins us. You can follow him at Twitter at Mitch Sherman. Hey, you had a great write up there on ESPN talking about no more Mr. Mike Nice Guy with mm-hmm. Coach Riley. Second year in, you think you'd ever been talking about him being kind of a not a nice guy that's willing to make some tough moves going into his third year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and I felt a little victim to it a little bit. I think that gets to a little bit cliche with Riley. It's always been the case with him, you know, going back way before his time in Nebraska, is that it's easy to just fall into that trap and say he's a nice guy. And the reason I wrote about it that way is because I was a little bit surprised in talking to Bob Diaco. We talked to the Friday after signing day, and, you know, I asked him what his first impressions of Mike Riley were, and out came those words, you know, nice guy, fun guy. So that was a little bit of an entry point to begin that discussion with in the story that I wrote last week. He made some tough decisions, obviously, this offseason with in regard to his coaching staff. And we haven't seen that from Riley much. We haven't seen much of that from him in moving away from a guy like Bruce Reed, as he did after the end of the regular season. And then, of course, the big move last month with Mark Banker. I think it signifies something of a shift for him in his sense of urgency. I was interested to talk to Dan Vandereet and get his take on Coach Riley, what he's seen from him this off season. Said he's even seen an uptick in enthusiasm and energy, and it's not usually the way you head when you're 63 going on 64, but there's, I think, and this has been the case since Riley landed at Nebraska, but even more so, I think it's more emphasized now, that the time is short, not just in remaining in his career, and you may be looking at 5 years or even longer if he wants to do that, but the time is short for him to get this thing off the ground in Nebraska. And they made strides last year, but I don't think anyone left that season with a good feeling about the way that it ended in those last four or five games. So this to me, you put some teeth behind that movement, that behind that feeling that, all right, if we're going to do something here and we're going to take this program over the top of what we've done the first 2 years, you're going to have to be bold. And what he did with his coaching staff this offseason, I would say, classifies as a bold move.
Mitch, the Bob Elliott hire is official now. Wanted to get your thoughts on that, and if you think maybe at first he's going to be kind of focused more on the coaching, installing this 3-4 defense, than maybe recruiting, and maybe saving that more for Dante Williams.
Yeah, they've got a lot of recruiters on the staff, on the defensive, on both sides of the ball, but especially on the defensive side. It's a young, energetic group. Elliott comes in as about 20 years older than anybody else. So I don't think they have to necessarily, you know, you want everybody in your staff to recruit, but different guys have different roles, and there's a chemistry that works on a staff, not just on a 9-man staff, but on the defensive side and the offensive side. And I would expect that he'll be involved. Of course, he's going to be involved in recruiting, but sure, the majority of the work out there on the road in connecting with the kids, especially the defensive backs, is probably going to fall on Dante Williams. And it helps that you've got a young, energetic, high-energy defensive coordinator in Bob Diaco. And then I think the connection between Diaco and Elliott, just the way that those two guys have worked together as coach and player, and then as assistant coach and coordinator later in their careers, it's going to be real beneficial, or it looks like it could be real beneficial for Diaco in helping install that defense. So you put those two things together, the way that the chemistry can work in a recruiting, coaching manner, and then also the connection that he has with the new coordinator in Nebraska. And at least on paper, it looks like a smart, calculated, well-devised hire for Riley and for Diaco, because obviously Diaco had a lot of input, probably the majority of the input in who was going to fill this position.
Mitch Sherman joins us from ESPN on Tuesday here on Hail Varsity. Hey, looking into, we're only a few weeks away from spring ball getting kicked off around these parts, even though it feels, you know, like it's about April 15th out there right now. is Nebraska, and looking at the Big Ten as a whole, is Nebraska kind of the most intriguing for you right now heading into spring ball with a new quarterback, new D coordinator, or is anyone else out there kind of has a little more interest, you know, to what they might be doing this offseason as well?
I think every team is going to have their interesting storylines, and that's a boring answer, but there are some that are more so than others. You know, Iowa has, if you just stay in the Big Ten West, because the Big Ten East teams are, you know, they've all got their interest. I'll touch on the East quick and say that there doesn't seem to be as much turnover there in the East, or there isn't as much turnover at the key spots. You have quarterbacks back at the three most successful programs. I think things will be fairly status quo in the East, except for Michigan going to see the Pope at the end of spring practice.
Mm-hmm.
That will be noteworthy. But you move to the West and you say, okay, look at Iowa. They've got a remade coaching staff. It will be interesting to see how Brian Ferentz is going to fit as an offensive coordinator. You look at Minnesota and PJ Fleck, mm-hmm. and that's going to be an interesting spring for the Gophers for sure, with a new head coach and a guy who is as headline grabbing as PJ Fleck is. And then Nebraska's right there. You know, despite not having those factors, you have the same head coach. You do have some coaching turnover, but not in the same way that it is at Iowa necessarily. I think it's of course intriguing because of the change that you have on the defensive side with the scheme that Nebraska is going to run, and then the new quarterback on the offensive side, and not just a new quarterback. Sometimes you get into this situation where there's going to be a new quarterback, and the first time that he'll have his chance to run the offenses in spring ball. On top of that, you've got a quarterback competition. So that in looking back through history at Nebraska, for me, the most interesting times to be around that program in March and April are when you've got two guys or three guys, perhaps in this case, competing for that quarterback job. And to hear the daily ebb and flow of that and the updates from Danny Langsdorf, and then ultimately the result of what happens when they get out there on the field and in the spring game, that is intriguing. And mixing it with the change on the defensive side, it makes it one of the more interesting springs to watch in quite a while for the Huskers.
Got about 60 seconds left. Does Husker Hoops kind of stop this roller coaster that keeps going down right now tonight?
Are they going to beat Penn State?
Mm-hmm.
My ability to dissect that is limited. I've definitely watched them play, but it seems to me that they're kind of running out of gas running on fumes at this point with all the injuries that they've had. Yeah, I would think they can probably beat Penn State at home. I know Penn State has opened eyes a bit, but still is not an upper division Big Ten team. Your guess is as good as mine on that one. I don't have the full analysis on Nebraska Penn State basketball, but if you're looking for a bold call, say that Nebraska holds serve on the home court.
Hey, any more? We can't call it either. I don't think anyone can call Nebraska basketball anymore, Mitch.
These are like the two most unpredictable teams in the Big Ten, so it's fair, Mitch.
Okay, well, we'll see if my great pick can hold true.
Yeah, we'll hope so. They need one. All right, Mitch, as usual, thanks for joining us. Have a good Valentine's Day, and we'll catch up next week.
Thanks. Same to you guys. Take care. Good
yep,
to talk
thanks.
To you.
There we go. It was Mitch Sherman, Big Ten Network. Give him a follow at Twitter, at Mitch Sherman. Excellent write-up on Coach Riley he put out just a few days ago on ESPN. So if you want to go over to ESPN and check out what he's done. But coming up next, Spencer Lindsay joining us in studio to talk about Sam Foltz and the Sam Foltz Foundation and things that are being done.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Welcome back into the Hail Varsity Show. Tuesday, Jay Moore, TJ Henning. Holding it down. Shimini's out today with a little flu virus. Thanks to Mitch Sherman of ESPN joining us last hour. talk a little Nebraska football news. Get over to ESPN and read his newest article. Mitch always does a great write-up. And now join us in studio. He's become a good friend of mine. I got to know him through work so far this year. Around him quite a bit now. Spencer Lindsay joins us from Kearney Kid. Kearney, Nebraska, hanging out with us here today at the Hale Varsity Show. Kind of talking about the Sam Foltz Foundation, all these different things that are going right now to really promote his foundation, things that people can do to go on to get T-shirts, jackets, hats, you name it, and all this money, all the proceeds go towards the Sam Foltz Foundation. Everything's still kind of in a new
–
everything's still trying to be built. You said Sam and your dad are still kind of running it, heading it up right now, trying to make sure everything's going. But all these different things that people can do to help benefit Sam's legacy.
Yeah, so the SamFoltzFoundation.org was set up through Ideal Images in Omaha, basically selling SF27 apparel for Husk fans that wanted it. I know multiple times through the season I would have fans come up to me and I would be wearing a shirt with a 27 on it or an SF27, and fans would ask, you know, where can I get one of those? Mm-hmm. Where can I buy one of those? And oftentimes, they were either team issued or Sam Hahn and myself just made them ourselves just for us two. And so with the help of Mitch McCann, who's a teammate of ours, and Pete McCann, who obviously we know, set up the store on samfoltzfoundation.org and sells T-shirts, hats, and sweatshirts, all with the SF27 logo on them. And all the benefits go towards the Sam Foltz Foundation, which is right now just a collection of different kind of profits coming in to kind of honor Sam's memory, and the number of charities and different foundations that those money are going towards has been extensive. Definitely, Gerald Foltz, Sam's dad, and my dad have kind of had to oversee a lot of the profits that have been coming in because so many people have donated money, and it's been a great thing. And I think the Sam Foltz Foundation, with the help of Ideal Images, has been another great
source. It's been great. That's who Spencer and I kind of are working with right now. Ideal Images, that's who I am employed by as well. So they have a idealimages.com. You can actually, I think you can believe you can go on through there as well to order stuff to their team store, and you can click on the SF27 logo. And again, they got a bunch of T-shirts, hats, all, and again, all this stuff is going towards the Sam Foltz Foundation. And did you touch on how the foundation, what's going to benefit? I believe we're talking about first responders, cancer research, all those type of things.
Cancer research, and then also scholarship money to be set up for a scholarship named in Sam's name. So I know with everything that's going on, they're still working through what exactly will benefit what, but I know that those are the three big things right now, is that the scholarship that will be named in Sam's honor, the cancer care research, and then the first responders unit, of which Jordan Foltz, Sam's older brother, is a first responder.
Right. So you can follow Spencer on Twitter at @S_Lindsay. Maybe we can possibly, I don't know how Twitter savvy, tweet out a link
to
get people over to this. I know guys have been doing it before. I know Nate Gary, a lot of your senior teammates have been tweeting out links for people to go to this site, again, to get all this gear. I mean, it's great gear, and to benefit Sam, and all this money is going to go towards great, you know, providing extra opportunities for people, the research, the first responders, all the great things that are important to Sam's family. But looking at this year, I know it was tough for everyone, but was there a moment this year that you kind of thought, man, that's Sam's kind of doing up there?
Yeah, I think, you know, personally, I had a very strange career. I started a couple games on kickoff as a sophomore. The new staff came in. I kind of went back down the second string. But with senior day, you know, Drew gets hurt on the kickoff, and I end up stepping in. It was just a really weird scenario. I definitely felt Sam kind of maybe pulling some strings on that day, and also Riker getting his first career start at home, which was special. And obviously that day went well for both of us. I had a blocked field goal, which I wish I could wish I could take back on that one. But yeah, I mean, there's more moments. There's other times during the season when you felt like he was with us. Certainly not an easy year by any means, but definitely the senior game against Maryland, definitely felt like he was out there and pulling for us.
So as the season went along, obviously Sam was on your guys' minds the whole time, I'm sure. And it was nice gestures by every team to offer something before the game. But was that at all ever tough just before right the game? You're having to remember Sam and just right before you go play?
Yeah, absolutely. It was just every week somebody had something to give. And as much as Drew and I and the rest of the specialists appreciated, you know, it was tough every week. Every game was hard for its own reasons, but definitely having that reminder and the press being on you was not an easy thing. I remember before the Wisconsin game when the BTN special was coming out, when we were carrying out the Fultz jersey, I think Drew and I like almost tripped over these like TV camera wires because there was just so many cameras watching us. And it, you know, when you kind of go through something that public, it just doesn't feel natural in a way. And so, yeah, it was kind of just going through this mourning process that was just so public week after week, game after game. So, yeah, that definitely wasn't easy, but we certainly appreciated the teams that did it, and I thought everyone that did it was a real classy move.
Spencer Lindsay's joining us right now. Kind of we're talking about Sam and the Sam Fultz Foundation and everything that things are to be done with trying to provide funds for the foundation that we can go to first responders, cancer research, a scholarship will be provided for a kicker in the future. So all these things, again, you can get over to Ideal Images or is it Sam Fultz?
SamFultzFoundation.org.
Okay, yep. to get all this cool gear that has this SF27 that you kind of saw on the helmets of the players this year. But also a kind of a fun thing, and another side note, is you're kind of trying to get the Husker Hoops teams together to travel around. So if people want to get a hold of you, again, you can reach them at on Twitter at @S_Lindsay. The seniors will go around, and they've done it before, the Husker Hoops, and they'll come into a middle school or whatever and play against some faculty in some hoops games, and you know, maybe similar, you know, to provide some money for you know, you could go towards Sam in that way or other just fun benefits that way as well.
Yeah. If you want to come check us out, I believe we are in March 8th in Hastings. I believe we're at Hastings College playing against some local Hastings community members. And then over St. Patrick's Day weekend, we are up in O'Neill. Mm-hmm. So I believe Riker Fife, myself, Sam Hahn, Brandon Riley, Trey Foster, Sam Cotton will we'll all be there. So if you want to see some of those guys play some basketball, which some of them can, some of them cannot.
I was going to say, who's the best, you know?
Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, Riker's got to be in there. He was a stud in high school. We were actually shooting hoops last night. He's pretty good. Brandon Riley's not bad. Sam Hahn is going to give us the size because he's, you know, the 6'7 kid. So we're definitely going to need the size. But, I don't know what Trey Foster and Sam Cotton will bring to the table. But we're gonna try and piece it together.
Do you like Nebraska's chances tonight? I mean, we always talk in the morning. We see each other in the morning, Monday through Friday. So we always talk about those games. Like, you're gonna go tonight, so you've had pretty good luck. The games that you've gone to,
I'm usually good luck. Whenever Grant Schumacher and I sit together, they win. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt tonight.
Very nice, nice. All right, Spencer's gonna hang out with us to finish off this first hour. But thanks so much, dude, for stopping by.
Absolutely.
Again, all this cool stuff that you can get to benefit the Sam Fultz Foundation. All right, coming back here on the Hail Varsity Radio Show, we'll wrap up hour one. We'll be back here in a few.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back into the Hail Varsity Radio Show one more time. Quick few minutes here to wrap up hour one on a Valentine's Day. Jay Moore, TJ Henning, and Spencer Lindsay still hanging out here. We're talking. Spence is going to get that link tweeted out for people. So you go follow Spence at @S_Lindsay at Twitter. You'll get directed to the website where you can buy the FS27 gear. You got Valentine's Day plans, dude?
You know.
Or are you studying? So you're trying to get into law school, so you're the LSAT stuff is pretty keep me busy.
I've been on the study grind now that I've graduated, but Grant Schumacher and I have a date to go to the Nebraska.
That's right, you did say that
Nebraska game tonight. So
that's very cute.
Our plans. So hopefully they don't let us down.
Hey Spencer, I got a question for you. How differently do you think the season would have played out had you finished that Wisconsin game? Because it just feels like the team, the life force got sucked out of you after that crushing defeat.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I thought about it a lot Just the cold reality is that if we would have won that game and still lost to Wisconsin, or still lost to Iowa, we still would have gone to Indy to the Big Ten title game. And so that's difficult to swallow. It's definitely more difficult if we still would have lost to Iowa, we wouldn't have gone. But the fact is that if we just would have happened to have been able to pull that one out, especially with Endicott missing the extra point, you know, we could have, I could have swore at that moment, I'm like, man, this is just meant to be that we're going to get out of here with a win.
The script's writing itself.
Yeah.
It just it stopped.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really what it was. I think we ran into a tough buzzsaw with Ohio State. But, yeah, it's a tough thing. I know one of our goals was to get to the Big Ten title game and win the West. And, you know, if we would have won that game, we would have been able to do that. But hoping they get it done this year.
You feel good, though, about we got just about a minute left here. We've got to go into our break into hour two. You feel good about where things are going right now with Coach Riley and everybody else?
Yeah, I do. I think there's been some turnover that's been hard. But, you know, that happens. Mm-hmm. And teams, they try and win. They try and do everything they can to compete and win championships. So I have no problem with that. I think, you know, I've gotten to know Tanner Lee pretty well. Mm-hmm. We have a pretty good friendship. I'm excited to see what he can do. And I know I'll probably be overseas studying abroad when the season happens, but I'll be following along, and I feel good about the chances this year.
Yeah, Amsterdam. You're trying to get is that where you're looking at?
Amsterdam or Berlin right now.
Nice. So well, either or. I mean,
locations.
How much can get done, though, if you're going to law school over in Amsterdam?
Well, I'm going to study, take my test in June, and then I'll be able to take a break for a while. So
nice.
That's what that's for.
That's awesome, man. See, that's the cool thing. I think because that's offered now. You can kind of with the university now with the student athletes. You can go study abroad if you want to. They'll pay for it, right?
Yeah, post eligibility opportunity scholarship gives you money to go study abroad. So
that is.
NCAA athletes don't have it that bad.
Yeah, I know. Well, I tell you what, we always talk with other guys that are in the store. They stop in and about what I got for a scholarship to compare to what they get now, these extra things. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, you guys are getting paid for crying out loud, it feels like. Because what we got, I mean, it was like you had like $75 to $100 to scrap together after bills were paid at the end of the month, you know. But hey. It is what it is.
Well, you can thank Shabazz Napier from UConn Huskies.
Hungry
Huskies gave the shout out that they were hungry sometimes. Yeah. Sure enough, the next year we got more food benefits.
Hey.
So, thanks, Shabazz.
Big ups to Shabazz.
Yeah.
Big ups to Shabazz Napier. All right, wrapped up. That was a fun hour one here. Thanks to Spencer Lindsay for joining, stopping by. Thanks to Mitch Sherman. Coming up, a lot of Husker hoops talk. Hour two, we'll be back. Hail Varsity Radio on a Tuesday.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We
get
beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Welcome back into the Hail Varsity Radio Show, hour number two. Hopefully you're out of work on your way home. Hopefully you had your Valentine's Day stuff accomplished already. You're not scrambling around. Hopefully you have some plans. If not, hopefully you're going to the basketball game tonight to check it out. Like a lot of people I know are.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Husker hoops talk this hour, predominantly all of it, pretty much. We'll get the Penn State game in this first segment. Next segment, we'll have Andy Markowski on to get his thoughts kind of on Husker hoops and just college basketball in general, how kind of goofy it's been this year. TJ and I kind of spoke on that too, the very first segment of hour one. And then we'll also have, at 5:40, we're going to run interview from signing day that we were never to play. Mm-hmm. Brendan Hymus, a really good offensive line tackle or offensive lineman from the state of Texas. So we'll run that at 5:40 before we get out of here. But we didn't get touch on this much in hour one, but it's kind of, I know where Nebraska basketball is this year. It's a big game, but it's not a big game just because where they at. But in the whole context of everything, how the season's gone, how they started Big Ten play, how they're on the skid, they can't close a game. The epitome of Nebraska basketball is shooting yourself in the foot. Like, there's no other to do it. They have a chance to win by making free throws or really high percentage shots, and this doesn't happen. But it's as we got into this, I believe, yesterday, kind of was talking about Chattel's article in the World Herald about where this means for Miles.
And off air we did.
But it's just the way it is. I mean, it kind of feels like this. You kind of need this game. Nebraska's 4-8 in the Big Ten. Penn State 6-7. Penn State just came off of two nice wins against Illinois, and they beat Maryland. Went to triple overtime. They're 3-2 in their last five games. They took Indiana to triple OT at Indiana. I know Indiana's down a little bit, but Penn State can play some basketball now. This is a damn good basketball team. I think Nebraska is 5-1 at home against Penn State, so that helps. I think last year was against Penn State. It was the game that Andrew White went off and had 35. I think won like 70-54, I believe.
Yeah, could use that guy right now.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm not going to stand up here and say this is. I don't feel like it's an absolute must-win game. I don't think if he would lose this, you're looking at replacing your coach, your basketball coach. I think my feeling on Miles is when you lose to Gardner Webb, I was like, ooh, something's. It's just not. Things are adding up. Mm-hmm. 2 + 2 is not equal in 4 right now with this basketball team. He changes. I think he kind of is like, okay, this isn't working. I got to change something. And for himself, which I applaud him for, you start the Big Ten off hot. I mean, you legitimately could have been 4-1 in those first five games without a doubt. You lose Morrow. That's a huge knock. I mean, that guy is, a huge cog into what you do offensively and defensively. You lose him. You go through some skids. Now he's kind of getting back in the swing of things. You lose those close games. I mean, listen, people, you're not – this wasn't a NCAA tournament team, realistically.
Hmm.
Reasonable expectations was you get into the NIT.
Yeah, or 500 was what kind of thought.
And
yeah.
You finish out strong, maybe win a couple in the Big Ten tournament, you still get into the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with your strength of schedule, I would imagine it's still number one.
Yeah, I believe it's
up there.
Top three still.
Yeah, it's got to be up there with that.
The thing with the NIT is you have to be 500 or above.
Oh,
so the Huskers are going to have to finish at least, 5-1 and then maybe win a game in the Big Ten tournament. So that can be easier said than done.
Yeah.
But some of the games left tonight, Penn State, that's winnable. At Ohio State, I mean, you showed
definitely
that you can
winnable.
Beat them. At Michigan State, that could be the tough one.
Mm-hmm.
But then Illinois home, Illinois is no good.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're at Minnesota. That could be another tough one, but Minnesota's been struggling. And then you're home, Michigan. And you've never beat Michigan when you've been in the Big Ten basketball. Like, there's your chance, senior day.
Right.
Final game. So there's
right.
your first time
it's,
to get
yeah,
it.
I mean, it's...
So it's... We've lost 8 of 9.
Right.
It is what it is. The team's margin for error going into the season wasn't that great.
No.
And it's showing. Especially when you lose your third best player, Ed Morrow, for that long of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just... It's just going to see how much can Ty keep going. I mean, mm-hmm. how much? It's a grind, man.
A
I mean, and he's one of, I wrote this down, he's one of four guys in the power conferences that have double-digit points in every game. The other guys were Dwayne Bacon from FSU, Justin Hart from Villanova,
mm-hmm.
and Heron from Auburn. Don't know of him that well, but I mean, one of four guys. I mean, what he's been able to do this year has been really impressive.
Oh yeah,
but it's just, I mean, after a while, it's just.
And he doesn't get to the free throw line as much as he should.
No, exactly. That's you know what that's. How many times did he get knocked to the yeah and gets knocked to the ground? You'd think he should have about 30 more attempts this mm-hmm. year than what he does. But it's just, again, you see Watson kind of breaking down a little bit with the groin issues.
Yeah,
you just don't know. I mean, luckily McVay's came on a little bit. Luckily Jordy's came on a little bit. And having Morrow back obviously helps offset some of those things. But what Ty does, man, I mean, he is, in my opinion, the most important player. The best finisher around the rim that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how long that can be sustainable because it's just that's a lot to ask that because he's just up and down, up and down, up mm-hmm. and down. And not like he just hangs out around the 3-point line and goes to the other 3-point line. No, that dude is like baseline to baseline, 100 miles an hour all game.
Yeah, and now we're doing it 36, 37 minutes a game, just not getting minutes blows or much time
off. It's kind of interesting. I just wrote down doing some notes for the on this and the basketball team. I mean, in Huskers, in their four Big Ten wins, they've shot 46% from the three-point line.
And in their losses,
30%. 30%.
That is drastic.
I know.
Like, that just... And that was one of my major concerns going into the season, was where were we going to get consistent three-point shooting?
Well, who knows?
Especially since you lost your best three-point shooter, Andrew White. Mm-hmm. And if he was still here, I would still have been worried, but obviously that would have helped. But, I mean, McVay was probably going to be that guy, but then you saw how much he struggled.
Right.
And then I think Glenn has turned into your best three-point shooter just because off the dribble, he could already do that. And then his catch-and-shoot three-point has really improved this year. And then Dryah Horn, 33% as a freshman. That's not too bad, and I think you can live with that. But those three guys are who you're going to go to for the three-point line. So this Penn State game tonight, we were talking with Mitch. Mitch had a tough time predicting this game. And I said to him, well, Mitch, these are the two most unpredictable teams in the Big Ten. Check these out. Penn State losses. They lost to Albany. They got blown out by George Mason. They lost to Rutgers. But yet, they beat number 24 Minnesota. They beat number 21 Maryland. They won at Michigan State. I mean, talk about Jekyll and Hyde.
Right. Oh,
and that speaks to Nebraska, too, this year.
Chambers is in his sixth year. Like I said, they beat Maryland, they beat Illinois. They're 3-2 in the last two games. That the big ones, that 2-point loss to Rutgers, and one of those in the last five. I mean, but they have four players averaging double figures, you know, and they're led by Tony Carr, their freshman. They're the best scorer. I think he's like 12 or 13 points a game. They're kind of around that. I mean, they're not. They don't have a lead score. They're solid.
They're just balanced. Yeah,
they're solid. You can't really point at one thing. They do well. Same with Nebraska.
And he recruits that Philly area. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those Philly guys, they're known for their toughness, and they just bring it every night.
I mean, listen, it's a lot of, for any more for Nebraska basketball, they got to, again, who's that third scorer? Luckily, McVay's kind of has shown up. I mean, what McVay was able to do against Purdue in that last win that we've had, and nine games, you know, that was huge. And the way to out-rebound, you know, you're going to say you're going to out-rebound Purdue by five?
Yeah.
I would have lost a lot of money on that one, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Make your free throws.
Yeah, that's become a bit of a bugaboo.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Morrow, he misses those two, he makes one.
Yep.
Of, you know, he goes 0 for 2. I mean, you like their chances of beating Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... You can. It's six one way, half a dozen the other with this team. You could chop it up one way or the other, but it's just like you honestly don't know. Like you can't call it. You cannot call it just because, like you said, with the young team, the young kids, you have two guys that you know have to produce. But again, Watson can go cold a little bit. We've seen. You know, you're gonna get what you get from Ty. Mm-hmm. But it's just it's. I mean. You think they've got something going, and all of a sudden, oh, there's that four-minute scoring drought. Oh, they just shot themselves in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he dribbled off his foot. Oh, they threw up a brick, got his own rebound. He made it with 0.2 seconds left. Oh, I mean, that's just – it's gross.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go back big picture here with the Chattel article. So I've said I think you should give Miles, and Chattel says as well, that you should give him another year.
I agree.
If not, maybe two. Just because the amount of talent he's brought in. Mm-hmm. You've never had this many top 150 recruits. The problem now is developing them.
Mm-hmm.
And these aren't, when I say top 150 recruits, like I think the highest guy is maybe number 60 or something like that.
Sure.
So for knowing these guys, the payoff is going to come in their third and fourth year, their junior and senior year. So you need to give them time to grow a little bit. I think Glenn can be really special. I think your big three, if you want to call them that with quotations, of Glenn, Ed, and Isaiah, I think those guys are going to be your go-to guys in the coming seasons. And I think you have great complementary role players in Jacobson, Jack McVay, Dry Horn, guys who can really play. And I'm debating where to put Shamanga. I've seen his potential, but, you know, he still looks like a freshman a lot of times. But you're in agreement about giving me another year for sure?
Yeah, I do. I think what he's able to – because, listen, I mean, it's not like we're going out there and we're getting blown out.
Yeah.
We're competing, and you're competing without Morrow. You're competing against – I know the Big Ten is down. I know that. I know you're going to have some frustrations with things. But how he's able to kind of change how he handles things, kind of get McVay out of the depths of whatever he was into that first part of the season, get him producing. I mean, listen, you lose guys, man. It's tough. You lose Morrow. It's just hard anymore. You lose – a key part. It's tough in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I totally. Now, this is just me, and I'm not trying to stir rumors or do nothing, but it's like, okay, I get it. You look at what Eichhorst has done in the past with not being his guys. He didn't. T.O. hired Tim. Didn't extend his contract.
Yep.
So you don't know what
we know. Our mindsets was
right.
The AD's mindset.
Exactly. I mean, you just don't know. You saw things that were changed. You want to go back to how he handled Pelini? You know, I'm not around the basketball program. Mm-hmm. I don't know ins and outs and things like that. But again, and to me, if you have to make a change, it better be. And I don't know the up and coming coaches. I don't know who might be at a small school like where Miles came from,
yeah.
like a Colorado State or
been the last three
or
coaches.
George Mason or
mid-majors,
right? Yeah,
Barry
the
Collier,
Butler,
Doc Sadler.
Yes, yes. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Not that in depth of the non-Power Five conferences of basketball. I don't know. I mean, I don't like to get too big-headed or look around and see who's out there. But, I mean, what if Hoiberg isn't coaching anymore with the Chicago Bulls? I don't know. I mean, if you could land him, I could see him making a change then. But if that's, like I said, it's kind of how I felt when Bo was leaving at this time. You better make a pretty big-time hire. Now, I wasn't too happy with. I mean, it was kind of like, who? Mike Riley?
Yep.
But I get it. I like what's going on. But it's like, what Tim's done. I mean, you got to, again, it's fifth year or sixth year?
This is his fifth year. This is what's tough about Tim. If the season continues, that would be 4 out of 5 losing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first year, you kind of knew that was going to be losing season from
right.
what Doc left behind.
Right.
Just the cupboard was bare. But 4 out of 5 losing seasons, but yet he also got us to an NCAA tournament.
In his second year,
and we haven't been there since the Danny Nee era.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty phenomenal.
Correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't been to postseason play since then, right?
Yeah. Well, no, we had been to the NIT.
We did?
Sprinkled in the Collier, Doc.
No, I'm saying since we made the NCAA tournament with Miles and Zager, we haven't been to a postseason play since then.
No.
So, I don't know. I mean, listen, you try to be patient. I'm not trying to make excuses. Don't like to make excuses. But I'd look at as a whole and the things that you've done. I mean, you just look at those losses, close losses, the Wisconsin, the Rutgers, the Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. You're 6-4 in games divided by 5 points or less,
right.
But it doesn't feel like it at all.
Right, I know. I mean, I feel like those are the three. So you got those, and all of a sudden, instead of being 4-8, you're 7-5,
mm-hmm.
and you're probably in that top six.
Oh yeah,
of the Big
with
Ten.
The way the Big Ten muddied this year,
right? And you got a lot. So I mean, I don't think so. I think I agree. You got to be patient.
Yeah.
But again, I just don't know. It's like you're car shopping. You're like, my budget's this, But all of a sudden, this BMW all of a sudden pops up for that same price. You're like,
yeah.
Or you weren't thinking about it, but all of a sudden that you're like, I can get that for that. Now it's you start, man, do I make a move then? I don't know.
I think it was just so frustrating after the Wisconsin game that Wisconsin had their D-plus game, but you unfortunately brought your D game. And you had so many chances to put them away, and you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you lost to them by one, and they're a ranked team. Like, to me, it's the conversation if you lost them by 25 or 30, then you start to, like, wonder, okay,
exactly.
What's going on here?
Right.
But
I know, Wisconsin's not – they're not going to be – they're not a Final Four team.
No.
We totally get that. But again,
but Hayes is an NBA player. Ethan Happ will be an NBA player.
Correct. I mean, we could ask Andy next segment. Andy Markowski will be coming up in the next segment following this one. But I mean, who is the best Big Ten team?
I honestly think it's Northwestern, which is nuts.
Who just beat Wisconsin
at
home.
And they're the only other team, like Nebraska, to have never won an NCAA tournament game.
I know.
They've never been to an NCAA.
Right.
And if all of a sudden they were to break both those and Nebraska's the only one left alone,
they'd just add to the frustration. I mean, it wouldn't doubt it. All right. More Husker Hoops Talk coming up next. Andy Markowski joins us to discuss Huskers at Penn State.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HaleVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back into the Hale Varsity Radio Show on a Tuesday. Jay Moore, TJ Henning holding down. Schmitty is out today with the flu bug. Been talking a lot of Husker hoops. Nebraska plays Penn State at home tonight, 8 p.m. tip on BTN if you can't catch it. The Huskers are a four-point favorite, some maybe 4.5, depending on what website you check out. You frequent. As usual, Andy Markowski always joins us day of the game. Andy, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, not too bad, Jay. Things are well.
Good, good. You got your Valentine's Day stuff taken care of? I've been asking everyone, all the guys.
Is that today?
I think so. That's good. Hey, look, TJ and I were discussing. I mean, can you even call it anymore with this Nebraska basketball team this year? I mean, it's like six one way, half a dozen the other. You think you have an idea, but they kind of show you something completely different.
Well, you can call it because that's what young teams do. You know, there's just a level of inconsistency, and certainly when you're young and inconsistent and then you add some injuries into the mix, that's made it difficult to project, you know, what this team is capable of. But, you know, when they've played well, they've been able to go on the road and beat good teams. They've been competitive at home. Yeah, you know, freshmen and sophomores find ways to lose games, and juniors and seniors find ways to win games, and I think Nebraska's kind of experienced that this year on the wrong end of it.
All right, Andy, I'm going really big picture here because you're a former player for the team, and I just want to get your take. So last Friday after the Wisconsin loss, I got Bill Dolman's take on this. I just want to get yours. Just why has it been that this program just hasn't been able to take the next step? Why can't you get that first NCAA tournament win? You played in the most successful era probably of Nebraska basketball. I know the funding hasn't been there in the past, but obviously it's there now. Just why do you think Nebraska basketball hasn't been able to get over the hump?
Yeah, you know, it's a million-dollar question, right? I mean, if we knew the answer, we would have addressed it, you know, two decades ago. But, you know, I think there's, you know, a combination of a lot of things. I mean, looking back in the 90s, I think Danny Knee did a tremendous job of building a talented roster. You know, I think at the pinnacle of his coaching staff, that started to a bit. So I think, you know, maybe, you know, I always said Danny was always great to me, but there's probably better X's than those guys. And I think that was probably a limiting factor in the 90s. And then I think that the transition where we started falling behind in facilities, you know, affected recruiting under Barry. And then now the transition into the Big Ten, I think it's a difficult league. I think you have the facilities to help recruit, you know, try to attract top-level kids. But unfortunately, you know, we've had some transfers, we've had some injuries, and it's always, you know, you're missing the one piece. You know, I do like, you know, Tim's base that he's built. But even looking into next year, you know, if Ty Webster was a junior, you'd feel really, really good with the group you have coming back. But yet, you know, there's still questions on who's going to replace Ty, even though the young kids are talented. You know, that's still a one piece that they potentially will be missing next year.
Andy Markowski joins us talking Husker hoops. All right, Penn State tonight. Andy, I mean, Nebraska and Penn State kind of – really similar. They have some really good wins. They have some really poor wins. What has to happen tonight for Nebraska to kind of get off this losing skid and get back on the right track, heading into this final play, heading into the Big Ten tournament?
You know, this is a really intriguing game for me because I think, you know, Coach Chambers at Penn State and Miles came in, you know, basically the same year. You know, have tried to rebuild programs that were, you know, in dire straits. I mean, the fan support wasn't there for Penn State. It, you know, wasn't there in the waning years of Doc Sadler. You know, both have come in with a tremendous amount of energy. Both teams right now are young. They've been inconsistent. I think this is telling for if Coach Miles has this group's, you know, ear. You know, if we come out and don't have energy at home, and a young Penn State team, you know, comes in here and beats Nebraska, that would make me nervous as administration. Even though, like I said, I do like our young group. If Tim can't get them to play with energy tonight, which is a winnable game against a young Penn State team that to be honest, you're catching them at the perfect time, right? I mean, young teams don't handle success. They've actually won two in a row. One of those was a big win against Maryland at home, and then they went on the road to beat Illinois. So you're absolutely catching a young Penn State team at the right time. So if Nebraska lays an egg tonight, I would be nervous that potentially you don't have this group locked in from a concentration standpoint. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully they play well. They find, you know, a win tonight. I think there are a couple more wins on the schedule as you look at the level of teams they're playing in the league. And you know, hopefully that gives you some momentum going into the Big Ten tournament on a neutral floor where you can, you know, win a couple games and make a longer stay. It's nothing worse than going into the conference tournament and being one and done. I don't think that gives you much momentum going into the offseason.
So you had mentioned if Ty Webster was a junior going into next season, but obviously he'll be gone after the season. I'm just curious, if there is a big three on this team, which I don't think there is, but if there were, to me it would be Glenn Watson, Ed Morrow, and Isaiah Roby are the three like key guys who are going to be making the plays next year. Would you agree with that or not?
No, I agree. You know, I look at a Michael Jacobson and an Evan Taylor are both good players, are complementary players. You know, I think you have to probably recruit over them, meaning, you know, they can be 6 and 7, but if, you know, if they're in your starting five, you know, our program's kind of be where it is. So I look at Jordy and maybe Roby, you know, if they can assume, you know, that level next year, you know, it bodes well for this team. But certainly Glenn Watson and Ed are good enough. They've contributed. They've had big games, you know, as sophomores and even as freshmen, they've had success. So I agree with that. You know, Roby is you know, you're selling hope, you're selling potential. You know, there's flashes. I think, you know, as of late, he's, you know, playing more. He's making, you know, dominant plays in the sense of, you know, blocking shots and making some athletic plays that we haven't had on our roster in a while. So I think that bodes well. But once again, you know, I do think you need a secondary guard that can score. You know, I don't know if that's Anton Gill or you know, James Palmer sitting out. I haven't seen enough of James. But, you know, losing Webster is going to affect the scoring on this team. But, you know, certainly there's enough talent to hopefully pick up the slack.
Yeah, or maybe it could be Nana, the incoming freshman out of Illinois. Hey, another quick question. Do you think it's possible in today's day and age of college basketball for there to be some stability? Because I feel like that's what this team really needs going into the offseason, where nobody transfers, where you don't lose an assistant coach. Do you think that's at all possible?
Well, I would be very concerned if there's disruption in the offseason. You know, the coaching staff doesn't concern me too much in basketball. I mean, that you can recover from that. I mean, especially as long as, you know, assistant doesn't take a player or recruit that you were expecting to come into their school. But certainly, you know, projecting into next year, all the pieces need to be back. You know, maybe, you know, I know there's talk of Fuller maybe graduating and moving on. I mean, those types of things happen. But if you lose one of your core young guys, freshman or sophomore, that you're leaning on next year, you know, that doesn't bode well, because it's hard to replace that kid in the spring. There's just not enough talent in the pool for spring recruits to really have an impact player. So hopefully there isn't disruption. The nature of 18 to 22 year olds this day and age is, you know, there's over, what, 500 transfers a year. So that's a possibility, but certainly I would be, you know, once again, tonight I think speaks well of where they're at mentally. And this spring, if he can maintain the roster, you know, I'm actually excited about what next year could bring.
Andy Markowski joins us talking all things Nebraska basketball. Hey, looking at the Big Ten as a whole, who do you think is the best team in the Big Ten right now?
Well, when I, you know, there's two things I look at. Like, who has the best pieces? And I think the answer to that is Purdue. Just because of their size, their guard play has been consistent. You know, their front line is dominant. I do think Melo Trimble is the best player, and when a point guard is the best player in the league that can go make end of the game winning plays, we'll keep Maryland right in it. So, you know, I think it's one of those two teams, but I think Maryland's too young to you know, to run the table or do much in the NCAA tournament. So I look to Purdue just based on, you know, having a couple pieces that nobody else has, and that gives them an advantage.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Hey, so talking about a new kind of proposed rule change, and they might mess with it, NIT, talking about kind of resetting the fouls at the 10-minute mark of every half, during every half, to kind of simulate quarters. Thoughts on that kind of rule proposal? Like it, hate it, or, you know, indifferent?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue in college basketball right now is five fouls. You know, other than that, I mean, if you look at referees, they can have way too much influence on the game by calling a second foul on a good player where they have to go out. It's the only sport where, you know, you lose minutes based on committing a foul. So I think that is the biggest rule they need to look at. I think referees would be more apt to call fouls. Not that you want them to call more, but there are some games that are way too physical. There's some that you shoot too many free throws. But I think they need to look at six fouls. Players are bigger, stronger, and there's nothing worse, you know, even as a fan, to go and see player, you know, the best players on the team sitting out most of the first half because of two fouls. So, you know, I think the quarter is interesting because I think there's too many media timeouts, and that would eliminate one of the media timeouts just based on stopping it at five and then the quarter versus, you know, 16, 12, 8, 4. So I think that might speed the game up a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like. Certainly the girls' model has worked. I don't think there's a lot of negative around that. And with a 30-second shot clock, it's not like teams are going to hold the ball like they do in high school to finish the quarter, which shortens those games. So, yeah, I'll be anxious, but I would like to see them look at six fouls. I think that's the biggest thing that's limiting college basketball right now.
30 seconds. Do you think officiating is just calling it too tight this year?
Yeah, it's just the level of consistency, I think, is the biggest frustration. I mean, you see games where there's hardly any fouls called, and in a team like Wisconsin that leads the country and no fouls. And then I was watching a game the other night where they had, you know, nine fouls in the first like 9 minutes of a game. It's like, okay, how is that possible? How do you go from not fouling all of a sudden one game you start fouling? So I just think the consistency of different crews have you know, just different ideas of what's a foul, what's not a foul, and you know, as a player and as a coach, I don't know what to expect. But they're certainly calling more fouls now, which, you know, doesn't, you know, I think it eliminates the flow of games. It's frustrating to coach, and like I said, when your best players are always sitting, you know, beside you, there's no worse feeling, you know, as a coach, knowing that you can't put them back in the game for fear of getting third foul or even fouling out, you know, by playing them with four fouls with a lot of minutes to go in the second half. So I just think.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back into the Hail Varsity Radio Show. You know that every woman wants a 1-carat diamond in their lifetime. Starter Heyman is now making that possible to everyone. Starter Heyman has a select 1-carat diamonds for $100 a month. Starter Heyman is making the dream come true and affordable for anyone. So don't shortchange your sweetheart on Valentine's Day. Get her a 1-carat diamond for only $100 a month. See stores for details, starterheyman.com. Big thanks to Andy Markowski joining us last segment. We had to cut him off for a hard break, but we're going to quickly run this segment from Signing Day with Brendan Hymus. We're able to get him on the Signing Day show, so we want to run that for you guys. Really good interview, a good tackle that's coming in this signing class from the state of Texas. Here you go.
Brendan, congratulations on your day. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing all right. Just a busy one, and Nebraska loves offensive line play. You know, the state is about running the football and being physical. You match that. Take me back through this process when it came to recruiting in Nebraska, and the first time you kind of were intrigued by Nebraska. Do you remember that moment?
I think the first time I was intrigued by Nebraska was when I got offered. You know, I didn't really know anything about them until Coach Kavanaugh called me and said that they offered me a scholarship. So after that moment, you know, I kind of did my research and I realized what kind of tradition they had over there. And it's crazy how much tradition they have. And, you know, I'm just excited to play for that.
Well, Nebraska does have a lot of offensive line tradition. Coach Kavanaugh is well respected, and there's a good group on that offensive line. How are you able to connect with him?
I think we connect pretty good. You know, I think our relationship is really good already, you know, for the short times that I've got to see him over in Lincoln or that he's come to visit me in a home visit. But, you know, I just can't wait to get up there and, you know, build that relationship up even more and, you know, just excited to play for him.
Can you describe the home visit? What was it like in the living room with Coach Kavanaugh?
It was comfortable. You know, it wasn't, it didn't feel like there was a coach. I actually, you know, talking to me, it just felt like it was, you know, another man, you know, just asking me questions and stuff, you know, and that's what I really like about him. You know, he's not very intimidating or a very intimidating guy to be around. You know, he just wants to, he said off the field, you know, he said he's going to be like a father figure, but on the field, you know, he's obviously going to coach you hard. And, you know, that's someone who, you know, I'm looking forward to play for.
He is pretty intense on the field for sure. And with Nebraska on the offensive line, what do you foresee your role being? I mean, where do you think you fit? Where did he tell you you maybe project? 6'5", 250. I know you're extremely athletic. That's big time. But where do you fit in Big Ten play?
Right now, you know, he wants me to play left tackle. And I've actually gained some weight since the season. I'm 270 right now. And he doesn't want me to be, you know, too much bigger than that, you know, maybe 15, 20 more pounds from there. And he said that I could fight for a starting position maybe my second year there. You know, he said he was going to redshirt me, so.
Okay. High school football in Texas is well-documented, pretty legendary. You're the 6A state champs this year. Give us a little peek into your program. I've laid out the success, but what makes it so good?
I think just the way we prepare. You know, our coaches do an excellent job of preparing us each week for, you know, our opponent. And, you know, going into off season, those off seasons are pretty rough, I'm not going to lie. And they're hard on us, but it's for a good reason. And, you know, obviously it's shown these past couple of years and years past, you know, them winning 5 state titles in a row and, you know, us winning the highest division, class division state championship. And, but, you know, it's been fun. You know, I've played with all those guys since we were in elementary school, and finally getting to this moment in our life is a pretty special moment.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the early grades to start playing football. Did you always play offensive line, or did you move to offensive line in high school? Kind of tell me a little bit about how you kind of developed to where you're at now. What did you do early on when playing football?
Yeah, actually, early on, you know, we could play like 2 different positions. So I played center and I played linebacker for our Pop Warner team. So I got to play linebacker a little bit, and that was about all the linebacker days were pretty early. So, and then eventually in middle school, I still played center, and then got moved to defensive end. On defense, and then in high school, it was just strictly my freshman year, I played center, and then sophomore year, I played right tackle, and then junior and senior year, I played left tackle. So
late to the party, Baylor, TCU, Texas, very good programs, new coach and Coach Herman at Texas, interested in you. You stuck with Nebraska. Why stay with Nebraska? Why move away from home?
Just everything about Nebraska. You know, there's not one thing that really sticks out to me the most. You know, it's just everything about it is great. And you know, like you said before, the selling point that they had were you know, it, obviously in-state schools and closer to family and stuff like that, and not getting as homesick as you would in Nebraska. But you know, Nebraska really feels like home to me more than any of those schools do. So you know, I'm happy with my decision.
Brendan Hymus with us, Hail Varsity Radio, a part of this 2017 class on the offensive line. Brendan, to wrap up here, man, what do you think you do best on the line? What do you take the most pride in, and what's an area that you want to get better at as you get to Nebraska?
You know, I've been told by not only Coach Kavanaugh, but multiple coaches that my, you know, being aggressive is one of my strong points, you know, whether it's run blocking or pass blocking. They just like how nasty and aggressive I am when it comes to stuff like that. But obviously nobody's perfect and neither am I. So, you know, there's been some areas where I've been lacking, especially, you know, how high I am when I pass set or when I run block, you know. Knee flexibility and hip flexibility is obviously something I'm going to work on this off season and as years go by at Nebraska.
Are you a vocal guy? Are you an angry player?
Honestly, not really. Vocal when it comes to, you know, communication between my offensive line and my buddies, but as far as trash talking, you know, sometimes when it gets heated, but most of the time, not really. I'm just trying to catch my breath.
good enough. Congratulations, part of 2017, Brendan Hymus, offensive line, and part of 2017 out of Lake Travis, Texas. Tradition-rich program, state champs, and he's headed to Lincoln. Brendan, we'll catch up again. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back into the Hail Varsity Radio Show one final time on a Tuesday. Jay Moore, TJ Henning, hold it down. Don't be alarmed. That was a pre-recorded segment, obviously, from signing day. So if you heard Schmitty's voice, he's not all of a sudden feeling better and mysteriously back in here. So that was Brendan Hymus he was talking to from National Signing Day just a few weeks ago. A quick reminder from Nebraska Highway Safety Office here. Drunk driving. Out for a good time with friends or family. Having a few drinks. Someone offers you a ride home. You say, no thanks, because you think you're okay to drive. Mixing alcohol and driving is never a good thing for anyone. You can take a life or lose yours. You can be arrested, go to jail, lose your license, pay fines and legal fees. Any way you look at it, you drink, you drive, you lose. From the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. It's been a good show. It was a lot of hoops talk. Big thanks to Mitch Sherman of ESPN. Big thanks for Spencer Lindsay stopping by, hang out with us for a little bit, talking about the Sam Fultz Foundation and some cool things that you can do to buy some gear. All that money goes to benefit the Fultz Foundation. Big thanks to Anna Markowski for joining us just a couple segments ago when we had to cut him off because he got a little too long-winded, and we go hard breaks. This is how it is here. We have to cut you off. We apologize. It happens every now and then. And, yeah, I mean, Huskers got Penn State tonight. I feel pretty good about it. I do. I don't know. But one thing that hangs me up a little bit, it's Tuesday night, 8 o'clock tip. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of juice in that arena.
Yeah. When there hasn't been much juice for other home games and better opponents, yeah, that's a little worrisome tonight.
Yeah, but I think they'll pull it out. I'll do my best to stay up as late as possible to watch this. I got to get my butt up in the morning to get to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going Monday, Wednesday, Friday for like the last...
Are you a early morning gym?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always have been.
Ooh.
Always will be.
Not a morning guy. So when I go to the gym, it's...
I don't know how... I drive by the gyms. I see people getting after it like at 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, what? How can you do that? That looks awful. Like, I just feel so much better throughout the day. Like, if I work out late... Remember when I'd do rec basketball and city rec, and I'd have games at 8:30? I wouldn't fall asleep till like 2 o'clock in the morning, so I'd just be wired. So I have a hard time just... calming down. Mm-hmm. So I like going to the gym, getting in, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, depending on my schedule. And it sets me up. I feel great for the rest of the day. You feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Hey,
you know,
each his own.
Eat a little bit more, you know, lunch if you want to. Have a side of chips and queso if you want, you know. Don't worry about it. Maybe have an extra beer, you know, at night. You know,
yeah,
don't feel
I just
bad
use
about
a shower
it.
To wake me up in the morning. That's all I need.
No, I've always been that way. Even all the times... working, still doing football thing.
Mm-hmm.
You had to, you know, run in the morning or run in the afternoon. Always in the morning. 7 o'clock. That just sounds awful running at 2:30 in the afternoon when it's 95 degrees and 100% humidity.
Yeah. So what's your prediction then for tonight?
Oh, it'll be a close one. It'll probably be sloppy, I imagine. Frustrating. I'll take the Huskers. They'll cover 75-70.
All right. I think it's going to be sloppy as well. Both these teams just need a win. It's going to be scrappy. I think Edmar will still come off the bench. Tim Miles hasn't decided yet if he's going to start him or not. But I'm going Huskers 68, Penn State 66.
Ooh, Penn State close one. Close cover. Wouldn't doubt it. Wouldn't doubt it if it comes down to 1 point in the final damn play again.
Probably will.
All right, thanks for joining us. It was fun. We'll see what's going on and see where Schmitty's at tomorrow. Thanks for hanging out.